Good morning. Today I want to focus on one of my very favorite scriptures in the Old Testament. It's Micah 6, verse 8. And it basically says, what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. I like this verse because it covers, in my opinion, pretty much all the bases. Because we're constantly trying to get justice. We all want justice, especially for ourselves. There's many times when we want mercy, especially if the consequences of justice would be very hard and very difficult. So we want mercy. And we want other people to give us understanding. We want others to be humble in their dealings with us. What I find is that as a Christian, what it means to pick up my cross and follow Christ is that I would take each of those things and I would apply them to me and how I deal with others. So the Lord is requiring me to do justice to others. It's not requiring me to seek justice for myself, although that's not out of the question, because that can be good for everybody. You want things to be fair. But do we care enough about things being fair for others? See, I think we live in a world where it's easy to only want what's going to save you the dollar, what's going to put you ahead. We see that in driving all the time. You know, you're driving down the road, there's a whole line of cars trying to get on, but they're in a dilemma because they don't have a light to give them access to the road. Somebody has to choose to slow down enough to let them in. Will you be the one that lets them in? If we're not thinking in light of what's best for others, it might be easy to just ignore the needs of others. See, what I see in Micah 6:8 is it's saying, consider whether or not you're doing justice to others. I remember when I was in Israel, the summer of 1900 and no one's business. I like to say that because I'm old now in some people's minds. But back then, I was young and I was on an archaeological dig. But we had a lot of opportunity to go into the old city. And there were times where we would find things we would want. I found this awesome Hebrew letter. It's called a hi, and it has the H sound, but it is just an awesome trinket, I guess you'd call it. Makes a nice gift to wear, and I gave it to my sister. But I wanted it as cheap as I could get it, and so I negotiated. And they kept giving in. And pretty soon I got it to the point where it was just dirt cheap. And I was really proud of myself. But the shopkeeper came up to me. He was an Arab shopkeeper. And he said, "Mister, I tell you, what you do is not good." And I was confused by that comment because I thought I'd done pretty good. So later I asked one of my Old Testament professors, I had two of them that were on that dig, by the way, amazing men, both are amazing men. One, Dr. Rose, was the director of the dig, and the other was Dr. Leo Perdue. Both have passed away now, but Leo Perdue was only 35 years old. I was 24 years old. He was a brilliant man. And I asked Leo, we called him Leo. I asked, what did he mean? Because I told him the story. I said, what did he mean when he said, Mister, what you do is not good? And Leo said, you know, I'll tell you what. Their economy is hurting so much that they are willing to sell things at a loss because they need the cash. So what he was saying is, you went too far. You stopped being just. You stopped being fair. You went beyond, and you did an injustice to him by causing him to sell at a loss because he needs the money. And that's what he meant when he said, Mister, what you do is not good. He was actually trying to help you for future reference. I never forgot that story because it didn't really dawn on me at that time that it was possible to do others injustice in that way. I figured, you know, it's a bargain. He can either sell or not sell. Well, while that may be true, there's the God factor. Is it possible that God wants us to put ourselves in the shoes of everyone we deal with so that they know and they see we're dealing with them justly? It's a subtle thing. I think it's a character thing that's mostly measured between you and God. And when you go outside that box, or when I go outside that box, it's my prayer that God will show me. Now, it's too bad that I didn't go back to that shopkeeper and give him a few more dollars. Wouldn't that have been quite a deal? It would have shocked him. But I think that would have been a just thing to do. I didn't do that. But I look back on it, I'm thinking I should have done that. Because that wasn't just what I did. Just one example. Just one example. You can probably think of other examples where you have an ability to get a great deal, but are you doing justice in your dealings with others? I look at it the same way, you know, when you go out to eat, are you going to leave a tip? I know people who never, hardly ever leave a tip. For me, that's not just because of the way that person is planning on making their money. I have a friend who wants me to bless others with money, so he gives me money to give to others. What an awesome thing. And one day I was in a restaurant, and this huge party came out of family members. And this waitress worked really hard. And when all was said and done, they actually came in and left while I was still there because I was doing some reading. They didn't leave a tip. And I remembered that I had this gift that I could give out to people. And so I gave her 20% of the bill. It wasn't my money. It was the ministry of this friend that gives me money to bless others. I have other fun stories about this. I just think it's great that I can do that. And I think it creates all sorts of messages that bless not just the person, but people connected to them. I mean, they say that the flap of a butterfly's wings in the Antarctica, or it wouldn't be the Antarctica, that's too cold, but somewhere in North America can change everything somewhere else. I mean, it's called quantum physics, you know. Whenever we do acts of kindness and goodness and justness, we are changing the atmosphere for good with God's love. And I just want to say doing justice is best when we're considering whether or not we're doing it on behalf of others. Yeah, consider whether it's fair all the way around. But make sure you're not being so fair to yourself that you're being unfair to somebody else. That's what I take. This is a love mercy. Love mercy. Oh, I love it. I love mercy when I get pulled over and I don't get a ticket. I love it. I love that kind of mercy. But do I love to give others mercy? I remember one time I had to get a tow truck come in and take my car. It needed towed to go to the mechanic. It was at my apartment complex, and it was in my spot. And this guy came, and I don't know if he just wasn't well-trained or was in a hurry, but when he chained my car to have it pulled up onto the tow truck, he didn't put the safety chain on. And as it was being pulled up, the cable chain that was pulling my car onto the truck broke, and my car rolled backwards into some shrubs, and it actually scratched the paint. Now, it was an older car and was bothersome, but it would have been more bothersome if it was a brand new car. The tow truck driver basically said, You can ask me to report this, and they'll pay for what they need to pay for. But I'll lose my job. And so I did one of those quick prayers, and I decided to have mercy. I'm not always merciful. Maybe I'm the hero of that story. Don't get me wrong. Many times where I wasn't the hero. You know, Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. I'm not sure exactly what he meant by that, but I could always use some more mercy. I don't think it really guarantees things work out in ways we want them to, but it just guarantees that it makes God smile when we're merciful. Does that mean you should just be, you know, merciful in every situation? I think it means you pray about it, because maybe there'd be times where you need justice on your behalf. Everything needs to be prayed about in your walk with God. There's no formula. This isn't a formula. There's times where justice on your own behalf is totally appropriate. And maybe not just giving full-blown mercy. And again, I'm just telling you my interpretation of this scripture. Work out your own salvation in fear, with fear and trembling, right? That's in Philippians. So you go do that. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and you tell me what your take is on this scripture. Now, there's one last thing. Walking humbly with our God. To me, walking humbly means I'm not going to judge somebody with a snap judgment. I'm going to give others an opportunity. I'm going to give them grace. Don't we all want grace? We don't know the full story. I think that we need to listen more. I think I need to listen more. I need to care more. I need to put myself in the shoes of other people more. To me, that's what it means to walk humbly. It means I'm not going to go have a snap judgment about somebody or their situation, because I haven't been walking in their shoes. I'm going to ask the Lord to show me what is it like to be in their shoes, in that person's shoes. No one wants an excuse. We live in a world where they say, okay, don't give me an excuse. You didn't do it right. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. No excuse will matter. But what if we said, you don't need to give me an excuse. Just tell me what it's like to be you. And I'm going to listen. Because if I'm willing to do that, I'm walking humbly. I think that our world used to listen more than it's listening right now. We're not even trained to be good listeners anymore. I came out of a background of mediation. I've done mediation. I've worked for mediation services. I've helped people mediate their differences. And I don't see listening being important to people like it used to be. Even 10 years ago, 20 years ago. When I see the things happening in our country, and I see the differences, I think, you know, we still have some common values. We could still find some common ground. My question is, why doesn't somebody humble themselves and reach across the aisle and listen? Doesn't mean they have to agree. Maybe they ultimately will still agree to disagree, but in the listening, they might come up with some solutions, some win-win situations that aren't, those win-win situations aren't happening, I think, largely because people are not putting themselves in each other's shoes long enough to listen to what the other person has to say. And long enough to find common ground. I think the biggest attribute of a humble person for me is listening. When I don't think listening comes natural for any of us. I have a tendency to want to interrupt people before they're completely done. And it's very frustrating to people when they're not done. And I'm waiting for them to finish so I can say what I'm already thinking, which means I wasn't really listening to what they were saying, and I'm not listening to what they're about to say. I think listening is very important. You know, you should read the book of Micah, because it admonishes, has three separate sections, and in those sections, one of the things Micah says is, listen. Hearken, listen. God has something he wants to say to you through me, the prophet. So he says, listen. Isn't that interesting? And I'm saying that listening, whether it's to the Lord or another person, is what needs to happen if I'm going to walk humbly with God. There's times where I get so excited in my prayer life that I tell God everything I want to say, and then I think I'm done. And I can give you examples, but I won't in this message, of times when God interrupted me because God had something he wanted to tell me. And I was shocked. You mean listening to what God has to say is a part of prayer? Yes, it's not really prayer unless it involves listening. When you have a question, don't be afraid to ask God the question. But also, please, all of us, let's start listening more. Well, what's that mean to listen to God? You're going to have to work that out between you and God, God's voice. Is something that there's been many books written about. You know, how do we know the voice of God? For me, the voice of God can come in lots of ways, sometimes surprising ways. Not always the same way. But am I open to getting some insight? I hope this has been helpful. To me, again, this is what it means to pick up my cross and follow Christ. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly. And I'm constantly growing in all of these areas. And I'm not perfect. And I need grace. But isn't it awesome to have verses like Micah 6:8 that say it so succinctly that we can carry in our hearts with us as we live our life? This week, as you go, remember to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Amen.